Well, I trust you all had a tremendous Thanksgiving. It's sad that it takes a holiday to make some people thankful. We probably, as a nation and as believers in Jesus, ought to probably try a little harder some days. But nevertheless, but it is a good excuse to get together, enjoy friends, enjoy family, and just celebrate and how blessed we are as a nation, how blessed we are as believers in Jesus Christ as well. Just a few things. Can we switch over to the Christmas slide? Can we do that? I want to give you a quick rundown on our Christmas schedule. I'm sure it's printed in the bulletin somewhere, but I have my own handout for myself. So I just want to make sure that we are all aware of everything that's going on. Starting today, we are beginning a new series called Celebrating God's Gifts. You know, it says coming soon. It's really soon, like 3 minutes. So, you know, my sign guy wasn't able to be here today to get that moved, but that's okay. But we are going to focus on celebrating the gifts, God's gifts of Christmas, and we're going to look at a few different things that the Lord gives to us as we study through together the first Christmas narrative, or the Christmas narrative. I don't like to call it a Christmas story, because there's a lot of stories that are made up. So we're going to call it the Christmas narrative, because it is an actual account of a historical act. But we're going to be looking at Luke chapter 2 several weeks here in the month of December. And here's just again, quick rundown. Okay, today we're going to be discussing the gift of joy. Next Sunday we're going to be looking at the gift of purpose. December 15th, we are going to have a Christmas drama. We've got some adults and kids involved in that. It's called Good Things Come in Small Packages. December 22nd. We will be focusing on the gift of worship, and on the 24th, which is our Christmas Eve service, we're going to be discussing what is called the greatest gift. And then just a quick rundown of a couple special things that are happening, and I mentioned some of them already, but I want it to sink in. We may mention them every week, because truly, Christmas is an important time, and it ought to be an important time in the church. But tonight, fellowship dinner, church decorating party. Again, if decorating's not your thing, maybe you like to eat. You know, come on out. Okay. December 15th, I mentioned the drama that'll be occurring. Also, during announcements, I mentioned that evening, we are also having a Christmas party and puppet show here at the church. Denny and Regina Brown are working very hard to put that together. So if you are interested in helping with that, I'm sure they wouldn't turn you away. Is that correct? Yeah? Okay. All right. So if you are looking for a way to serve during this Christmas season, Denny and Regina will help you find it. So no problem. And then the 24th, we always have a nice big Christmas celebration. It will be at 6:30 here at the church. So again, lots of stuff going on here in the month of December, both for us as a church, but also we're trying to incorporate some more outreach as well, as it's a we should. So anyway, all right. Well, why don't we start off by doing this? We're going to read together Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 20, and some of you are very familiar with it, and you read it. You know, there it is. I'm familiar with the birth of Jesus. I've heard this many, many times my entire life. Well, My prayer is that this Christmas season is that you would internalize the truths that are found in Luke chapter 2. And we know that the biggest deal in Christianity is that of the cross. But if Jesus had never come to earth, he never would have hung on the cross. And so Christmas is a big deal. So we need to make it one, okay? Luke chapter 2, we're going to read the first 20 verses, and then we'll jump in here. It says this: Now in those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that a census be taken of all the inhabited earth. This was the first census taken while Quirinius was the governor of Syria. And everyone was on his way to register for the census, each to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family of David, in order to register along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was with child. While they were there, the days were completed for her to give birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn son, wrapped him in cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. In the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly afraid. The angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all people. For today in the city of David there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased." When the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began to say to one another, "Let us go straight to Bethlehem then and see this thing that's happened, which the Lord has made known to us." So they came in a hurry and found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in the manger. And when they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told them about this child, and all who heard it wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds went back, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, just as had been told them. Let's look to our Heavenly Father in prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you so much for the account that you've given to us of the birth of Christ. Heavenly Father, may it never grow old to us. Lord, many of us who have grown up in the church have heard this maybe even hundreds of times. But Lord, may we not lose the awesomeness of this narrative. Lord, may we not just read over it like, "Yeah, I know that." But Lord, may we be continually amazed at your goodness. We thank you and praise you for sharing with us how amazing it was. Lord, help us to learn from this passage of Scripture this Christmas season. Bless our time together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, like many of you, I spent Thanksgiving with family. And we went to Jen's parents' house, something we've done for years over Thanksgiving. We'll go and spend time with her folks, and the kids like going there because they've got a little puppy now, which is fun. They don't live in Niagara County, so they have hills too, which is exciting stuff. So they can do more than use their saucers as shields from snowballs like they have to do at our house. They can actually go down the hill and, you know, I always enjoy watching them wipe out at the bottom. It's a good time. But just a couple little things happened while we were there that I thought were quite funny. I wanted to share them with you. Thursday, late morning, my wife said, "I thought I heard an alarm in the middle of the night." My mother-in-law said, "Yeah, mine went off at like 2. I don't know why, but it went off at 2. And then my father-in-law said, "I heard it as well. So I got up, went downstairs, made coffee, wondered why it was so dark, and realized it was 2:15 in the morning. And then he went back to bed, apparently. And I laughed at him for a long time because of that. I had too much fun at my father-in-law's expense this trip. Thursday night, he was like many of us, full of turkey. And he fell asleep in the chair. And so I was able to situate some of my daughter's baby dolls near him and get some fantastic photos for future blackmail purposes. You're not chuckling like I am. Okay, don't ever fall asleep at my house. That's I like to have fun, okay? But, you know, we just things like that, that, you know, we had a lot of fun. Before we went away, my wife started decorating the house for Christmas, getting ready. We always decorate a little bit pretty early because we're way over Thanksgiving. And, you know, we don't have a tree yet. I'm sure we'll get that this week. But one of the things she hangs up is there's a doorway between our living room and our kitchen. And she always hangs a little thing of mistletoe up under that doorway, and my son Matthew will just stand there waiting for a victim, you know. But it's kind of funny. But Daniel, our 5-year-old, couldn't quite remember what it was called, and he will argue with you that is referred to as Christmas toe. Christmas toe. And it's so cute that when my other children tried to correct him, I said, no, don't let him say it. Let him say it. You know, he's the littlest one. We got to enjoy those things. But you know, truthfully, there are moments in our lives where we enjoy a good chuckle, don't we? Especially at the expense of our father-in-laws. No, I'm kidding. But we enjoy things that bring a smile to our face. We enjoy things that make us smile. We enjoy sharing the stories, the remember whens, sharing things that happened in the past that just overwhelmed you with happiness, with joy. For me, one of those moments, and hopefully for you as well, one of those moments was my wedding day. And I'm not saying this for brownie points. My wife's downstairs working with the kids. So, but on my wedding day, I remember at the end of the day, my face literally hurt. Right? You know what I'm saying? Because of the smile that I could not get off of it. It just ached. Because I was so happy. And you know, that's a great feeling, isn't it? You ever been overwhelmed, overcome, almost controlled with happiness? It's a good feeling. Well, we're gonna talk a little bit this morning about the gift of joy. And everybody smile, right? We gotta get ready. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Okay. Yes, I love taking pictures in my house. You know, little kids have those smiles. You say, everybody smile, we're going to take a nice picture for grandma. You know, they do that. That's what some of you did, by the way. Okay. But we are going to talk this morning about the gift of joy. So let me show you, let's get a real in-depth, everybody get your pens out. Okay, I got mine. I'll give you a real in-depth definition of the word joy. So what I did is I've got a fairly extensive library in my office. And so I thought what I would do is I would study up on that word and what it means in Greek, because I know some of you are very excited about Greek. But that's what the original Bible was written in, the New Testament. I looked it up. Ready? You got your notes handy? This is what it said. Joy or gladness. That was it. I know some of you are just completely underwhelmed right now, aren't you? You're like, whoa, I thought he was going to blow me away with his knowledge. No, I'm not. I know some of you are like, oh, really? And honestly, I was a little disappointed with that definition. I wanted this great in-depth theological thing. In fact, if I started pulling off theology books off my shelves, looking up joy, figuring I'm going to get something, most of them didn't even bring it up. They didn't even have it in there because it's a commonly understood word. But I really thought I would get a real in-depth understanding of what the word joy meant. But it's a very simple thing. It's a very simple thing, and I think at its roots, it's something that most of us understand because we have experienced it at some level. Think back, parents, when you held your first child, Well, hopefully the other kids as well. When you held them, it wasn't just love that you felt. It was joy. There's something beautiful there. You could not help but smile, but at the same time fall in love. Joy. You know, it's not a deep mystical word that some churches try to turn it into. But it's a very real thing that the Lord gives to us as He gives us a gift of a Savior. Let's just look, if we can, and we're going to try to unwrap this morning three truths as they apply to joy. Okay? So the first truth that we're going to look at is this. Joy is the opposite of fear. Again, we're pulling everything out of Luke chapter 2, the text here in Luke chapter 2. Let's start in verse 8. Luke chapter 2, verse 8, it says, "In the same region there were some shepherds staying out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord stood before them. The glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly afraid." Can you imagine? Standing out in a field. And having these angels appear to you, and it says they were just frightened beyond belief. Terrified. Verse 10, it says, "But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all people.'" Don't be scared. Be filled with joy. See, when the Lord brings a message to people, He does not bring one of fear. When the Lord brings people a message, He does not bring one of, I don't know what to do. He brings one of hope. Some of you, at some point in your life, make it a little personal, have the reality in your mind of who Jesus is. Maybe that reality exists in your heart. But the way you live and the decisions that you make, don't say joy, they say fear. So we find a distinct difference in the lives of the shepherds from the point in which they saw the angels and the point in which they understood the message. There was a change in their life. That should always exist for God's people. When the angels showed up, it says they were terribly afraid. They were freaked out. You know, I've never experienced angels showing up when I'm in the wilderness. I hope I don't. I mean, yeah, maybe it'd be cool, but no one would believe me anyway. So, right, it would completely freak me out. And it says that at first point they show up and it says they are completely in fear. And then they understood. Then they got it. They said, don't be afraid, for behold, I bring you what? I bring you good news of great joy. See, if you are a child of God this morning, as we enter into this Christmas season, focus on the right half. We are told in Scripture many, many times that the angels would show up to God's people. What is the first thing they would say? Fear not. Why? I have a message from God. Fear not. Why? I have a message from God. I can tell you this morning, if you are a child of God, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, if you are joint heirs with Jesus, you do not have to live in fear. Rather, you should be rejoicing in the truth. And that is precisely what the message was. As the angels started, they say, hold on a minute, guys. Calm down. Relax. Get up off the ground. Stop shaking. Quit whining. Knock it off. I have some good news. And you know what? It's time that some Christians start treating the news of the Savior as good news. Let's act like we're saved. Shall we? It's okay to smile. What do you do with good news? You share it. Especially when it pertains to you. The day I was engaged to my wife was a horrific snowstorm. I didn't care. I got in the car. After she said yes, after much deliberation, kidding, she said yes the first time, thank God. We hopped in my car and we drove to relatives and friends' houses and we showed off the ring. It was good news. I still think it's good news. I hope she does as well. Isaiah 41:10, the first half of the verse says this, "Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not anxiously look about you, for I am your God." And I think there are probably some in this room that maybe you've lost the wonder of Christmas. Maybe you've lost the reality of the message of God's truth. And maybe you've retreated back to that place of fear when God says, you don't have to live in fear. Rather, you ought to be able to rejoice in the truth of who I am. If you're to read about some of the martyrs in times past who lost their lives for Jesus, you will find men and women who are witnessing to anyone who will listen up until the point their life is ended. Why? Because they're not filled with fear. They're filled with the joy of the Lord. You find the Apostle Paul and others sitting in a prison cell doing what? Feeling sorry for themselves? No. Singing hymns. Witnessing to jailers. Yeah, but we have a bad day. We want the whole world to know about it on Facebook. And shall I go on a Facebook tangent for a moment? I am honestly amazed that honestly, the majority of Christian friends I have on Facebook are quicker to complain than they are to share about their faith. If that's convicting, maybe you need to delete your account. Okay, throw that out there. But we need to be focused on the reality of the story, filled with joy, not filled with fear. I have yet to meet an individual who received really good news that responded in horror. Usually good news changes our lives. So let's act as though it does. I can tell you it did in the lives of the shepherds. It should in the lives of us as well. All right, the second truth that we find brought up in this passage of Scripture is that the angel's message was for all people. Verse 10, it says, "But the angel said, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of what? Great joy, which will be for all the people.'" Which will be for all the people. Anybody agree that the message of hope, the message of our Savior coming to this sin-deprived world, depraved world, is a message of joy for all people? Anybody agree that it's for all people? I hope. Some of you are sitting there saying, "That's why I have a Jesus fish. That's why I have a mug that says, 'I love Jesus.' That's why I have a tattoo of Jesus' face on my shoulder." Whatever it is, that's not what we're talking about. You know, we are quick to say the message of salvation is for the whole world. Actually, Scripture's quick to say that. However, I'm not convinced we're quick to live it. There have been many times in my life that I have boldly proclaimed that it's for everyone. But I don't share with everyone unless it's convenient. Anybody else ever fit in that boat? The angel said, "Hold on, guys. We know you're excited. Dial it down a notch. And I want you to fully understand the nature of this message. This is, yeah, we're telling you now, but we want you to understand it's not just for you. Hey, I appreciate the worship service you're having here on the hill with your sheep. But the message of a Savior coming to earth to save mankind is not just for you guys. We appreciate your excitement. But it's for everyone. Get off the hill. Walk out of church. Go tell your neighbor. I don't know, right? But at some point we get so focused on, let's get everyone to church. Let's get them all there every night of the week that we don't have time to share the good news. I don't ever want to become a church that has programs 7 nights a week. That will mean we are all, hey, taking care of ourselves. No. If you have too many ministries, I've said this before, if you have too many ministries at church that you don't have time to reach your neighbor, quit a ministry. You have a responsibility to fulfill the Great Commission if you're a child of Christ. Let's not schedule Jesus out. Let's not schedule out effectiveness. You know, they sat there looking at these angels going, this is awesome, man. This is great. Woo! This is a message of great joy. I want to see the Savior. I'm pumped. And one of the statements that they made again was, you know what? This joy, this good news is not just for you. That's a fairly convicting statement. It's not just for you. Share it with somebody else. It's not just for you. It's not just for me. We find a verse in the book of Romans. We find a lot of amazing verses in the book of Romans. But Romans chapter 10, verse 14, and we talked about this at one point in a discipleship hour class. It says, how then will they, well, actually, we'll back up to verse 13. It says, whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. Amen? Whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Anybody believe that? Okay. Verse 14. How then will they call on him whom they have not believed? How will they believe in him whom they have not heard? How will they hear without a preacher? How will they preach unless they are sent? Just as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news of good things. Is it talking specifically of a pastor? I don't believe so. It's talking about the personal responsibility that God places on each of us to spread the good news of Jesus Christ. You see, I think when you find a church, you find quite often a similar scene to what we find on this hilltop. The shepherds were overwhelmed with the message that they received in a positive sense. They were excited. They were in awe. They could tell people, I have experienced a godly presence. Man, to have the angel show up who had been in the throne room of God, that's amazing. Wow! And, you know, I know a lot of people that they will never share their faith, but they will invite people to church. I think that's backwards, actually, somewhat. We need to get back the personal sense of responsibility. The angel's message to these people, again, and I'll say it one more time, we'll move along, was, don't just stay up on this hill worshiping. This is for other people as well. You need to go. You need to go share. The angel's message was for all people. I'd like to challenge you this Christmas season to remember that truth. It's great that we can celebrate the real meaning of Christmas. It is. But it's not just for us. It's for the whole world. Third truth is this. The cause of joy was a Savior. Starting in verse 10 again of Luke chapter 2, it says, "But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all people.'" What is the good news? Verse 11, "For today in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." If you know this Savior, you have reason to be filled with joy. You have reason to be filled with joy. You read that again. It says, "I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all people. For today in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior who is Christ the Lord." You know, this angel making this pronouncement makes a broad statement that this good news of great joy is for all people, but he says then a Savior's been born for you. I don't know if he went down the list of all the shepherds out in the field, but he went, it's for you. It's for you. It's for you. And that's that message of the first Christmas. You know, the problem is, quite often we lose our joy, don't we? Anybody here ever lose that sense of joy? We don't feel like celebrating anymore. And we get into this funk of, I don't know what to do, or something happens in your life and it causes a bitterness to seep in. Maybe it's a choice you made or a choice someone else made that you love and respect. And you don't know what to do. And there are a lot of people that are walking into a Christmas season wondering, why should they bother? What is there to be joyful about? And truly it comes back to this narrative we find in Luke chapter 2. There was a Savior. Why? Born for you. He's born for you who is Christ the Lord. I'd like to read you a passage of Scripture that kind of deals with, you know, the painful reality of those moments when we lose the joy that we should possess. And this is the painful reality is usually it's a heart issue of our own. It's not God's fault. Rarely is it someone else's fault. We find in Psalm chapter 51, we find a prayer of a repentant man, a man who had sinned greatly in the eyes of God. He had gone out and committed adultery, committed murder. Supposed to be a godly man. Really? Talk about some bonehead choices, right? I mean, committed murder? That's not okay. Supposed to be a godly man. He finally came to a place where he realized that he was not the joyful man he once was. He was no longer someone that had a heart that was standing where God needed it to be. He understood that it was a result of his own personal decisions. And when we read Psalm chapter 51, we basically read a cry from pain. A man who recognizes that he has fallen a long ways. I We're not going to read the whole thing this morning for sake of time. You may want to later on if you get the chance. But starting in verse 10, it says, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence. Do not take your Holy Spirit from me." Verse 12, he says, "Restore to me the joy of your salvation. And sustain me with a willing spirit." It says, restore your joy. The idea of restoring means it once was there. Some of you, again, maybe walking into this Christmas season, you are excited about the lights. You're excited about the gifts. You're excited about the food, the parties, the friends, the family, but there's not a whole lot of excitement anymore about the God of your salvation. You are excited about the wrong things. And I would say there is a reason. There is a reason. And my understanding of Scripture is that it is a heart reason. And I would challenge you, if you are struggling with a life that is not joyful about the reality of this time of year, not joyful about the reality of the sacrifice of Christ, joyful about the reality of who He is, that you make Psalm chapter 51 a prayer. I would pray this thing every stinking day, if that's what it takes. See, God wants you. I believe this. God wants you to be overwhelmed by the joy of His message of salvation. Have you ever looked at a great Christian who's very effective at sharing their faith, who makes a difference in the world around them? You ever see one of those people? Have you ever seen one that wasn't joyful? Have you ever seen someone change the world for Jesus that didn't have a joy problem in a positive sense? I said it backwards. I know. You will not find, I would be shocked if you could find a person that changed the world for Jesus that was not joyful. Because when Jesus is the focus of our joy, when we are overwhelmed and excited, it will move us. Why don't we like to move? Why aren't we concerned about changing the world for Christ and more concerned about making ourselves comfortable some days? We've got a joy problem, which starts with a heart problem, which starts with a focus problem. So I would challenge you this Christmas season, do not get lost in the busyness. Do not get lost in the excitement of the deals, the good time with friends, the family, the parties, the food, the new stuff. There's nothing wrong with any of that. But when that becomes your reason for Christmas, you've completely missed the reason for Christmas. So I want to challenge you, as the angels would challenge the shepherds, live on the other side of the story. When they showed up, they were in fear. When they heard about Jesus, they could experience joy. Focus on Jesus. Also focus on the reality of there are other people out there that need the story as well. There are other people out there that need to be introduced to Jesus as well. Jesus didn't just come for you. According to verse 10, it was for all the people. Let's start living as though it's for all the people. And finally, let's focus on Jesus as our core, our cause for joy in our own lives. And if you're struggling with that, back it up. Make Psalm 51 a prayer that you pray daily. Read through Luke chapter 2 every day in the month of December. I don't know, okay? But remember to focus on what truly matters. It truly is a beautiful narrative that is mind-blowing when we sit back and look at it. It's one that we say we believe. We believe that Jesus came for everybody, and then we don't tell anybody. Jesus died for the whole world, and then we act like he only died for our church. I'm saying Christians in general, maybe you don't act that way, but I'm just saying what I've seen. That is not the message. It's for everyone, and there's personal responsibility for each of us. So this Christmas season, let's make it more about spreading the good news of why Jesus came than about the good news of our new toys. Let's have a word of prayer.